This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Man, I haven't watched Star Wars in a while, other than the Clone Wars, which I just finished season one, kind of grabbing an episode here and there. Man alive, I feel like it unlocks an entirely new area of Star Wars lore that I didn't even know existed. So I appreciate some friends for introducing me to the Clone Wars. I know Mandalorian season two is about to come out, and I've got some friends who are pretty geeked up, other Star Wars nerds, friends of mine. And so maybe that's part of your weekend, some movie watching. I will just be honest with you. Last weekend, when I exhorted all of you to find the Money Pit and watch it, and many of you did get back to me and say that you watched the Money Pit, I heard from people over the weekend, I didn't get to it. I have it queued up. It's ready to go. I rented it, quote unquote. I found it on demand and actually paid for it. Thankfully, it's available for the next month, because then I got involved in the World Series. And so I didn't expect Saturday night's game to be so dramatic. Of course, Sunday was football. I just never got to it. So Money Pit is the Friday night entertainment at the Lawrence household. And I cannot wait. So Star Wars, I have most of you memorized. I'm just going to have to put you on the back burner until I can get through this Money Pit revival that I am really excited about, the Money Pit reboot. In the meantime, though, we've got two more hours of the show before we get to the weekend. And, you know, it's a football free-for-all when we get to these Friday morning shows. If it's your Thursday night, that's fine. It's still my Thursday night as well. It's my Thursday night, or it's my night until I finish drinking coffee. And I still have coffee there, thankfully. It's always an opportunity for us to kind of break down some of the matchups from the weekend. And we're asking you, and this is even as we approach the midway point of the season, which teams are staring at must-win games? We've got a bunch of divisional matchups, so you can find those on our poll, either on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. And I'm actually going through and kind of looking at the schedule. Now, I've singled out some teams that I believe are facing must wins. I've given you my case for both Patriots and Bills. I think the Niners also face a must win because it's in their division, because this division itself, the NFC West, is so full of landmines, and every team is going to play every other team so tough. And they're in the basement now. As much as they're not separated by too many games, the fact is it's not just about how many games separate you from the top. It's about the other teams that are in the middle there and having to leapfrog those as well. So I think the Niners face a must-win this weekend against Seattle, and we'll look at that game coming up. So I can make a case for a lot of these teams. How about Chicago? A must-win, needing to find some type of momentum with their offense. You can only ask your defense to do so much, and not only are they back at Soldier Field, so they needed to protect their home field, but they're also taking on the Saints. So the Saints come in, they've been scrapping together wins, scraping together wins. And they also are trying to keep up with the Buccaneers in the NFC South. Keeping in mind, of course, the Buccaneers have an easier opponent on paper. They take on the Giants Monday Night Football. So if you're the Chicago Bears, you've got New Orleans coming in, which is a much more difficult opponent even than, I think, the Rams offense. Mike Thomas is supposed to be back with New Orleans this weekend as well for week 8. Plus, you're trying to keep pace with Green Bay in the NFC North standings. And knowing how challenging it's going to be to grab a playoff spot kind of as a dark horse in the NFC, you better not waste opportunities at home. Maybe you could make a case for the Colts. I think you might be able to make a case for the Colts as well because it's an AFC South division that right now is dominated by the Tennessee Titans. They took a step back last week in losing to Pittsburgh. And so if you look at the standings right now, the Colts are a game back. The Titans this weekend are taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Yay, another chance to see Joe Burrow play. So it's a road game for Tennessee. This maybe is a weekend where the Colts need to come away with a W because you're kind of neck and neck right there with the Titans, but certainly they've got the leg up. And so the Colts are on the road at Detroit. I think the Lions are fired up because of what happened last week. They're no time left on the clock victory. But here are the Titans at Cincinnati. We know that the Bengals will give them a test. But likely, you would expect that they would come away with the win, just their style of play. So the Colts have no choice but to hop to it in Detroit. All right, so I can make a case for a bunch of must wins. Don't even get me started on the NFC East. The entire division is still in play for the title. And so for the Cowboys, oh my gosh, with all the moves they've made on the defensive side of the ball, with I would say drastic cuts, messages they're sending to their locker room, with the way that they're right now kind of putting it out there from Mike McCarthy to Jerry Jones saying, you know, the leadership needs to step up. And also laying it out on the line, we expect more. And even with Leighton Vander Esch last week saying, this is not on the coaches, this is on us. With Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper coming out and saying, no way you've got guys that are from this locker room going to reporters complaining about coaches. We don't do that. Except James Slater didn't make it up, so somebody did. Another loss might just completely implode this franchise. And I know they've got potentially Ben DiNucci starting this weekend, but on the road at Philadelphia, the Eagles are, they're a work in progress too. This division is such a soap opera. I love it. Anyway, if I didn't put Dallas and Philadelphia in the poll, I know people would be bitching at me. So anyway, there's must win material all over the NFL. So bring it on, peeps. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm about to answer the question of the must win. You can find that post on our Facebook page too. So either Twitter or After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. One more note I wanted to make about the Ravens as well. And this actually, I could rope the Titans into this too. There are a few teams that have set themselves apart when it comes to turnover ratio. Now, for turnover ratio, it's defined as your plus minus, essentially, your takeaways versus your giveaways. Do you have more takeaways? Has your defense produced more turnovers to hand the ball back to the offense than you have given the ball away and given extra opportunities for the opposing offense? So I am a big fan of this statistic. I feel like it tells a story. It doesn't necessarily single out an individual. I mean, we look at fumbles, we look at interceptions, and those are telling to be sure. But what I think matters so much is cumulative. When it comes to turnover ratio, is your team in the red? Or is your team in the, it's actually green on a lot of the stat sheets, which I think is funny because we would say financially, are you in the black or are you in the red? But green means go, baby. And there are a few teams that have separated themselves from the pack. Tennessee Titans, through 6 games, are best in the NFL at turnover ratio, +9. And then you look even further, 12 takeaways for that defense, only 3 giveaways. That's it. 1 fumble, 2 interceptions. That's it. talk about ball efficiency. Talk about being able to control the ball and not give it away needlessly. We know that ball control with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill is their story. That's their platform. That's their political platform. But how about the Kansas City Chiefs? Just one back. +8 is their turnover differential. They've actually got 13 takeaways, only 5 giveaways. Top team in the league in takeaways, the Cleveland Browns defense, though they do have more giveaways, 7 interceptions already for Baker Mayfield, but they're still in the green or the black. Baltimore Ravens, +6. They're third best in the NFL. 11 takeaways, only 5 giveaways. And that's something that Mike Tomlin talked about. It's something that Ben Roethlisberger has talked about as well in getting ready for that rivalry. Some of you are calling it the best rivalry in the NFL, like AJ on our Facebook page. So take our poll, Twitter, Facebook, who faces must wins. I love this. It's just so juicy. It's scintillating. Week 8, and we should be seeing the personalities of these teams. Maybe they're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Maybe they're Steady Eddie. Maybe they're Welcome to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I don't know. Whatever it is, but there's a lot to pick apart even before we see the games on the field. 855-212. Do I sound geeked up? I am. I love this stuff. 855-212-4227. It's our football free-for-all. Joe is listening in Pittsburgh. Joe, what do you think?
Hey, Ange, how are you? Love the show.
Thank you.
Real quick, Vontaze Burfict actually plays for Cincinnati, but I'm not even going to get into that.
I know he does, but I was talking about the nasty rivalries in the AFC North, and so I was kind of thinking of him as like a guy that just epitomizes the nasty in the AFC North. But he's not the only one. I mean, there have been some nasty hits that we've seen. These rivalries are so good and so physical and so fierce. So I just thought it was interesting that Ben Roethlisberger said these rivalries don't get nasty, which I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah. I want to say this. A juicy stat is that in the 25 times that they've played, it's crazy that I think it's out of the 25 times that they've played each other, 23 games have come down to 3 points or less. So it's like, you know, it's going to come down to a field goal. And Justin Tucker, that guy's like, no, I mean, he doesn't miss. That's what worries me.
He's
a weapon for them, but it's the best rivalry in football to me.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's a must-win for the Steelers because when it comes down to it, whoever has the best division record usually wins the division. So I think you have to beat your opponents in your division to have the record.
I was thinking about that for a second. I mean, sure, those are really important, especially the ones that you have at home. You want to protect your home field. I mean, in the NFL, unless you get to tie breaks, they don't count those wins anymore than any other. But you're right. If it comes down to the wire and there's ties there, you need the tiebreakers. Those are huge.
Yes. Bills got to win, too. They better win if you want to be number one in that division.
Yeah.
It's about time.
If you want to get where the Patriots have been, you've got to go through New England to do it. I mean, it's a little bit like, I'm just going to use a Star Wars analogy here. To be a Jedi, you have to face your greatest fear. That's always the final test for a Jedi. And for the Bills, the Patriots have been their nemesis for years. They've been good enough to beat some of the other teams in their division, but have never been able to stare down the Patriots. In fact, nobody has in that division. So they're the big bads. And in order to get where they have been, you've got to go through them to take it from them. The Patriots are not just going to give it to you, Buffalo, so you got to go take it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more, and I want to see them take it because, no, I'm just not a Patriots fan. Never have been. I can't be.
I mean, you don't have to be a Patriots fan or non-fan to recognize how critical that game is. So,
oh, yes.
I got you.
Oh, yes.
All right, sir. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Roger, who's in Washington. Welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call again, Amy. We talked last weekend. I pointed out that only that the NFC East had as many wins combined as 5 other teams, but it was 6. Baltimore was one we forgot to count, I think. And I think that's going to be the most important game this weekend because if Pittsburgh gets up 2 games in their division, I don't think Baltimore will be able to make that up because there's the other teams in that division I don't think will be will be able to beat Pittsburgh and bring them back, okay? I think Cleveland is not as good enough to beat Pittsburgh, and I don't think Cincinnati is either. So I think Baltimore needs to take care of business this week. And then the game out here with San Francisco and Seattle, that should be an interesting game because this conference is so balanced. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
Yep. And a couple other points I wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that the kicker for Tennessee was like that missed that kick at the very end. He was 5-for-11 inside 50, but he's 5-for-5 outside 50. Maybe they should have kept the ball back for her or something. And then the punters, I love punters, okay? Punters are people too. You know
Thank
what I'm saying?
Thank you!
Okay, I know you say kickers are people too, but I think kickers, you should say kickers have kids too. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about kickers all being people, but punters are people too. I like the punter for the Rams, Hester. I hate it when a team gets the ball down to the 40, punts it, and the ball goes in the end zone. He is the best at kicking inside the 10 I've ever seen, probably.
Are you referring to Johnny?
Hester?
Hecker. Wait,
Hecker? Yeah.
Devin Hester was a kick returner who was great, one of the best ever in the NFL. But if you're talking about punters, Johnny Hecker might be the one you're thinking of.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Gotcha.
He did a great job against Chicago there tonight. That was amazing.
He did. Yeah, that was a career game for him.
And I like the Seattle kicker, too. And you did a great job interviewing Steve Rabel this week. I really enjoyed that. He's one of my favorites, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As well as you are one of my favorites as well. And you take care and you
yes.
have a good weekend. And be careful and don't kill too many grasshoppers, okay?
It was a cricket. And it was hopping all over my kitchen.
Okay, well, then I guess it deserves this as a cricket because I used to play football, and I played in the Grasshopper League and the Grass Cutter League. I never played in the Cricket League, so I guess it's okay, okay?
Yeah,
okay,
you
take care, okay?
All right, Roger, okay, thank you. I just got this tweet from Rob. He wants to throw a couple more names into the AFC or North nasty mix. He says, Hines Ward and Ray Lewis. So you got, we could go on and on. I don't know what Ben's talking about, trying to fool us and act like these rivalries in the AFC North aren't nasty. Should we add Myles Garrett to that list? I know he served his time. He served his penance, but are you kidding me? The AFC North rivalries are absolutely nasty. From Baltimore to Pittsburgh, from Baltimore to Cincinnati, from Pittsburgh to Cincinnati, from from Cleveland to Pittsburgh, they all have their own little layer of nasty. So which teams are facing must wins this weekend? I just tweeted my list, and you know I'm making the case for each one of them here on the show. Also, this freaks me out. I swear to you, this just happened, Dave. Producer Dave. They're always listening. You know they're always listening, right? Your devices, they're always listening.
Yes.
So listen to this. What Star Wars series did I just reference? Not even 15 minutes ago. Right, but the newer one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm...
Remember I said the new one, season 2, is coming out late October. I can't say it again.
Oh,
you have to say it.
The Mandalorian.
Yes. Said, okay, yeah. So guess what just popped up in my Twitter feed? An ad for The Mandalorian.
Of course it did.
What the hell? How does that happen? I've not, my phone is, it's here, but I'm not using it. I just said it 15 minutes ago, and that is what popped up on my Twitter feed right now, an ad for The Mandalorian.
They are always listening.
I want out of here. I don't want, what? Who is listening in here?
They.
But my phone is, I haven't touched my phone. And this is on my, this is on the desktop here in the studio. How did that happen? Is it because I'm talking into this microphone? Is there a listening device on our laptop, or our desktops in here? These
we
things
have
seem,
spies.
Yeah, but these themes, these seem too old to, to be, have listening devices. But I'm not kidding you. I talked about it 15 minutes ago, and The Mandalorian just popped up in my Twitter feed. I have not tweeted it. I've not actually used my phone to text it. Creepy. From the category of social media is freaking creepy, this is another piece of evidence.
Yep.
Yep. I can't say it again. So, well, I mean, I did say it again. So, never mind. All bets are off. Now I'm going to get bombarded by Baby Yodas everywhere I turn. It's just, it's going to happen.
There's worse things that have happened?
Well, that's true. All right. On Twitter, I feel like I shouldn't even be giving you my Twitter handle because who knows what else is going to pop up. A-Law Radio, though, what teams are facing must wins and which is the game you're most looking forward to? Plus, you've got our Facebook page as well.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jeff Wilson Jr. runs around the outside, and he dives in the end zone for his third rushing touchdown of the game. Let me hear you. Touchdown, San Francisco!
Two tight ends, two receivers, and Carlos Hyde in the backfield. Russell takes the shotgun snap, has some time. Blitz is coming. Russell's going to lay it up over the top. Lockett makes the catch. Did he get his feet in? Touchdown, Seahawks!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
First, we've got Greg Papa and company. It's a chorus there on the Niners Radio Network. And then Steve Rabel, who joined us earlier this week. Sorry. He joined us earlier this week following Sunday's game. And so he was with us. I remember his voice was dying. It was like a wounded duck, but he chose to be part of our show anyway. So Steve Rabel on the Seahawks Radio Network. This is kind of a funny little like 6 degrees of separation. I have a really good friend whose daughter is dating an offensive lineman on the Seahawks. So she's in Seattle and they're going through all their different COVID. She works in a hospital clinic, so she has to be careful too. But because of that personal tie, my friend now wants to talk to me about the Seahawks all the time. And so when I told her, and she'll text me things like, "Oh my gosh, did you catch any of the game?" Like, you know what I do for a living. Of course I caught the game. Anyway, she wanted to hear my conversation with Steve Rabel because she's all Seahawks all the time now. So
it's Mr. Kind of... Unlimited.
Oh, I'm going to send her that. Oh, my gosh. Hey, have you seen Russ's alter ego in action? That's such a great thing to share with her. Thank you, Producer Dave, for reminding me about Mr. Unlimited, who right now is unlimited in his MVP potential. So, Seahawks, Niners, I kind of feel like this should be the Sunday night game. I know there's a lot of drama with Dallas and Philadelphia, and it will get big numbers, but San Francisco, Seattle, I mean, this is one of the marquee games, and it's a divisional matchup as well. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. So what exactly is the Seahawks formula for winning with Russell Wilson? Here's Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, Russell's always been the man. you can't take anything away from their philosophy and how they've done it. I mean, they usually keep it close till the fourth, and then Russell kind of takes over, and that's why they're hard to beat. And still similar to that, but they've been coming out right away and getting after people and throwing just a little bit more than usual.
He's always been the man. I think that pretty much sums it up. He's always been the man. Right now, through 6 games, because Seattle's already had its bye week, they are leading the league in yards per game. Over 425 yards per game. Now, they give up a lot of yards per game, let's be honest. And that's one of the things that we talked about with Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame QB, who joined us on our show Monday night from Los Angeles after he had watched the Rams and the Bears. But I asked him, how much separation is there from the top of the NFC West, which is Seattle, to the bottom, which right now is the Niners?
I don't think there's a lot of separation. We talked about it that I think any team in this division could beat any other team on any given Sunday. And so, how it all shakes out at the end of the day, I don't know. And who can make the most noise in the playoffs is always the most important question. And I could see 3 teams from this division. Man, could we even see 4 teams from this division now that there's, 7 playoff teams? I mean, we had a stat that the first time, and I don't know, or I think the 5th time ever that, this point in the season, that every team in a division has a winning record. It's above 500.
Kurt Warner, part of our show this week. It's so geeky of me, but Producer Dave can, in fact, verify. that every time we hear his voice from one of our, you know, one of the snippets of our interview, I do this like big giant fist pump in my studio.
I call it the Amy Happy Dance.
Oh, I can't help it. It's just so exciting that we finally got him on the show. And if you missed the conversation, it's now on our YouTube channel. Producer Dave was able to find some time this week. We had not used our YouTube channel to generate anything new in 10 months, 9 months, but we finally got a new post up and it's perfect. The Hall of Fame QB, Kurt Warner, that I'd long wanted on the show and that we got to tease a little bit. He was a really good sport. So if you missed it, it's the number one video on our YouTube channel right now. So we know that the NFC West is a gauntlet. You've got just two games separating all four teams. So if you look at the number of wins, we're talking Seattle and Arizona and Los Angeles all at five. What? That's cray. And then Seahawks, because they, well, not just because they've had their week off, but they've played fewer games. So everybody else in the division has played seven. They've played six. So they just have the one loss, though they are coming off a loss. I believe this is a must-win for the Niners. Don't know if it's a must-win for the Seahawks. Probably not, except if they want to win that division, they got to keep in front of the teams that are coming behind them. Russell Wilson's got one guy that he's going to be focused on defensively. Always know where linebacker Fred Warner is.
I think Fred's one of the best players out there, you know, on the field. You know, and I think he's one of the best linebackers I've played. He's so super smart. He's on his stuff. He's detailed. You know, he just brings, he brings something that most guys don't know how to bring. You know, he just knows how to do it all, you know, and he's a really great player. So, it's always a challenge going up against him. I'm looking forward to the challenge. He's a great player for sure. I got a lot of respect for him.
I feel like this should be the Sunday night football game. Maybe they don't want to put Russ on national TV too much, but how can you go wrong with Russell Wilson on national TV? So I mentioned the Seahawks are tops in the NFL in 425 yards per game. So they're tops in terms of yards, but they're also tops in terms of points. 33.8 points per game. Do you know that's one full point better than the second team in the league, which is the Packers? They're at 32.8. But as we mentioned, the Seahawks give up a lot of yards and a lot of points on defense as well. But thankfully for them, more yards than they do points. But get this, not only are they tops in the league in yards per game, they are worst in the league at yards given up per game. How about that? 479 yards given up per game. So they need everything from Russell Wilson and then some, because that defense, while it is not breaking as much, it certainly bends a lot. It's like a tree in hurricane force winds. It just bends. And so that's pretty crazy, right? Have you ever heard anything like that? They're tops in the league in yards achieved per game, in yards that they rack up per game, but they're last in the league in yards allowed per game. Wowzers. I'm glad I did my research there. I did it all by myself. Okay, we'll take more of your calls. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. On both Twitter and Facebook, the game you're looking forward to, and now you have a chance to weigh in the must wins this weekend. I have labeled, I think, six teams I put up on Twitter that find themselves in what I believe are must-win situations, and two of them come from the same game.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Dalton has the snap, steps up, he's being chased, ball is out, hit from behind, it was recovered by Dallas in their own end zone, and that is going to be a safety for Washington. Landon Collins got to Andy Dalton, knocked the ball out. Dalton Schultz was able to recover it for the Cowboys, but back in his end zone, dropped there, 2-0 Washington.
Shotgun, second and 15. Wentz out of the pocket, spins to his left, looks downfield, hooks a pass, floats it up high, and it is intercepted by Bradberry. Carson Wentz gives it away. Leonard Williams with the heat on Wentz and forces him into a mistake.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Eagles and Cowboys. Woo! There's a lot of drama. It may not be the kind of drama that they were hoping for, but there's plenty at stake. I will call this a must-win for the Eagles. Not so much for the Cowboys, because they're likely starting Ben DiNucci now that Andy Dalton is in concussion protocol. He hasn't been declared out yet, but DiNucci is preparing as though he will be the starter, the rookie. I mean, welcome to the NFL, buddy. And then you think about how bad that Dallas defense is. So it'd be different if this was, say, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson was unable to go. Let's say he was in concussion protocol or he had an injury that kept him from playing. The Ravens defense, they can cover up for a multitude of sins by an offense. The Ravens defense is the stingiest in the league, allowing only 17.3 points. Dallas is giving up nearly 2 points more than its closest competitor at the bottom. And I'll explain. The Cowboys are giving up 34.7 points per game. They're also dead last when it comes to turnover ratio. But the Cowboys are allowing nearly 35 points per game. Their closest in the basement is the Raiders, allowing 32.8 points per game. That's nearly 2 points higher than the second worst team in the league when it comes to points per game. So with Ben DiNucci, it's not like Dak Prescott, who can run that team up and down the field where they might be able to score enough points to overcome their defensive woes. Cowboys are minus 13 in turnover differential. Get this. The only team in double figures, meaning the only team that has that many more double figure, more takeaway or giveaways than takeaways, five more than the Broncos, who are second worst in the league. That is just gross, you guys. And it's gross on both sides. Not only do they have only three takeaways, meaning that defense has only produced three turnovers all season, but when it comes to giving the ball away, they're very generous. 16 giveaways. It's like early Christmas. You get an interception and you get a fumble and you get a takeaway. It's just, it's a mess. So maybe this is a must-win game for the Cowboys before they implode. I do not believe it's time for a coaching change. That's redonkulous. But something has got to change. They're definitely hitting rock bottom, and I believe they'll bounce up at some point if Mike McCarthy has his way. He's going to have to get some new personnel in there, but man, if this is not rock bottom for the Cowboys, I don't know what is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You first hear Wentz interception. Oh, no, you first hear Bram Weinstein. I worked with him in my previous network on the Redskins. Oops, sorry. Okay, can we just strike that from the record? Take two. Bram Weinstein on the Washington football team's radio network. And then Ian Eagle, Westwood One, Carson Wentz with an interception, though the Eagles, they're a fighter. I think the Eagles have the constitution to be able to win this division, even though it's abysmal. I like the way they fight. They've been doing this for years under Doug Peterson. It's just, what do you fight with exactly? 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Before we get back to your calls, producer Dave would like to weigh in on the must-win question.
Yes, I would. I made a list, as usual. there are four teams on my list
today.
Can I
eat my yogurt while you go through your list?
Absolutely. Go right ahead. Sweet. Enjoy. So, they have two teams from the same game. So I think that the Saints at the Bears, I think are essentially must wins for both teams. I think that I know, and I agree with you, you are what your record says you are, but I think we can agree the Bears have not looked as good as they can. And I don't think they look great, especially offensively. This game, and I looked at it from the standpoint of making the playoffs,
okay,
not exactly within the division and, you know, taking over the division from the Packers. And I think that this is a big game because the NFC is so tough. And I think if you fall to 5-3, you're not going to win your division. I if the Packers continue to play, I hope that yogurt was good.
It was. Thank you. Thank you for giving me a break.
If you continue to play at this level, not know who your quarterback is, and not just be able to put the ball in the end zone when you need to and or run the ball, I think 5-3 is a bad place to be.
Run the ball so
halfway
bad
through the season. The mm-hmm. Saints, on the other hand, the same tough NFC, they're going to fall really far behind if they lose this game. And I think it's going to be they're going to have a hard time making the playoffs even if they don't win this game. I know that
crazy.
Sounds crazy, right?
Yes.
Sometimes
it does.
I say crazy things. Switching over at last in the NFC, I think that I agree with you. The 49ers with that division and then also making the playoffs, this could really be a must win. It's hard to say must win this early in the season, but this could be such an important game within the division at Seattle to win on the road. And lastly, in the AFC, the Raiders. The team they're chasing for the last playoff spot potentially later on in the season could be the team that they're playing at the Browns. So even though it's not a divisional game, this game could be so important for being the last team to sneak into the playoffs, even with seven teams now. And I know I'm talking about playoffs in week eight, but it could be
lots
the game
of people
that
are.
Makes it
yes.
or breaks it against, you know, against the Browns here.
I mean, if Kurt Warner can talk about the playoffs going into week number eight, you are allowed to as well. Yeah, I picked three teams from the AFC, three teams from the NFC. Dave and I agree on some. We don't agree on others. I did just put this Seattle stat out there on Twitter because I can't get over it. Seattle leads the league in yards and points per game, meaning their offense tops in the NFL in yards and points per game, but also leads the league in yards allowed per game, meaning they're last, they're worst in the NFL. And they actually give up more yards than they gain per game. That's not a recipe for success. And yet here they are at 5-1. That's a crazy stat. A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Let's talk to Robert, who's in New York. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. Nice to hear somebody being into Star Wars. A question for you. You like The Mandalorian. You like Clone Wars. I love the two. Have you seen Star Wars Rebels yet?
I have not. I'm still working my way through Clone Wars.
Okay, but you really should see. I think Star Wars Rebels is as good, if not better, than Clone Wars. That's all I'll say.
Is that also an animated series?
You know, that's a good question. Unfortunately, I'm visually disabled, so I can't tell you whether it's live or action, but it's great.
So you listen to it mostly?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
Yes,
Thank you.
Yes, I do. Just as I'm going to later listen to G.I. Joe and Transformers and Transformers Prime.
I like
so there
it.
You go, Megatron. Take that.
Very cool.
Anyway, about Sunday, tell me, do you think Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City will pull a Clemson and drop 73 on the putrescent Jets?
No, I don't think so. Partly because I don't think Andy Reid would have the team do that. I do think that the Jets fight hard on defense. I like what I saw from them against Buffalo defensively. I thought Quinnen Williams was all over the place, and I like the way he's handled the questions about trades this week. I mean, he just, to me, seems pretty mature and is a good spark. So the defense is, they're scrappy. They're tough. They're not going to lay down. Now, do I think the offense could get skunked? Yes, potentially. The Kansas City defense is inconsistent. There are times when they clamp down on the opponent. There are times when they give up a lot of yards and points, and we've seen that. I don't think this is the week the Jets going to win, but I don't think that the Chiefs are going to go crazy and put up 73. Again, mostly because I just don't think Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy would have their – and let's say it got to 50, just for the sake of argument – I think you'd see their guys come off the field. They know how treacherous life in the NFL is. One injury and things can change drastically.
Let me run a question by you. A conspiracy theory here. I don't believe in them, but there are too many of them flying around already. Do you think Bill Belichick might decide he's not interested? New England isn't going anywhere, I don't think. Do you think to keep Trevor Lawrence out of the AFC least?
No,
He might let the Jets beat.
No.
He might let the Jets win?
No.
No?
No. None of these guys are letting any other team beat them, least of all in the AFC East or really in any division. I mean, I get that tanking is a fun concept for fans, and maybe there are some front offices who think that'd be better if they lost, but there is no coach, there is no player out there who is going out on the field thinking it's okay if we lose this. And these guys, they're focused on them. Don't tell the Patriots they're out of it. They're not thinking, oh, let's make sure Trevor Lawrence doesn't land with the Jets, because they're not thinking about the Jets. They're thinking about the Patriots and their own issues. No, it's just, it's something that we as fans can toy with, but players and coaches, they're trying to win because their jobs are on the line. They're trying to win. You think Cam Newton isn't like already freaked out a little bit about the fact that he's playing so crappy right now and his future hangs in the balance? I mean, these guys are playing for their own careers, and they're not thinking outside of their own locker room past their next opponent. Mark is in Ontario. Welcome to After Hours. You got 2 minutes, Mark. Go ahead.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Tua play for the Dolphins. I've been a lifelong fan, and I got so sick and tired of watching Fitzpatrick either throw interceptions inside his own 20 or in the red zone, because he just seems to throw them at the worst possible time.
He throws a lot of touchdowns too, though.
I'll take less touchdowns, less interceptions at bad times.
Okay.
Would
you take fewer wins?
Well, you don't know that one translates into the other.
No, I'm saying in general. I mean, Fitzpatrick right now, the fact that the guys love to play for him, even going back to last year, as much as fans wanted them to tank for Tua or tank for Trevor if Trevor was going to be available a year later, that's not the personality of Fitzpatrick, nor is it the personality of Flores. I mean, they're certainly rebuilding, but if you want to tank, Fitzpatrick is not the quarterback you bring on board.
I hate that word tank. I hate it.
Do you like water tanks, fishing tanks, swimming tanks?
It's one of those things. I'll take Tua. If Tua is going to be there and be our franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. I'd rather see him right now, especially when everyone is saying, you know, that this kid looks so good in practice and mm-hmm. he's so smart. Let's see it. Because at 3-3, Fitzpatrick's not going to get them to the playoffs. He's just not.
Well, you feel that much differently if Tua's playing?
I feel better about the future direction of the team if
Tua's
playing.
I was asking you about the playoffs. Does it change if Tua's quarterbacky as opposed to Fitzpatrick?
You know what? I'm really not all that concerned if they make the playoffs this year.
Got it. Okay, so then what do you care?
Because I want to see the team that's going to be on the team. Where are they going for next year? If it's going to be Tua, it's going to be Tua. But it's not going to be Fitzpatrick unless they get, you know, a wheelchair ramp into the locker room and out onto the road.
No age discrimination. Ryan Fitzpatrick is still moving along quite well. In fact, he moves far better than does Tom Brady. Thank you for your phone call. There's the music. We're going to let you go. So his point is that he would rather them get started on the future. Interestingly enough, though, you look at the Dolphins roster, and there's a lot of these guys that won't be part of the future. They do have a few pieces they really like, but they're still firmly in rebuilding mode. Tua was the centerpiece, but they still need to find a lot of other pieces.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.